pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Thursday morning. We do appreciate it. 251-343-0106. If you would like to weigh in on anything we are discussing this morning, so to come on the program, today Governor Will Ainsworth joins us here in just a little bit, so stay tuned for that. Also, Congressman Mike Rogers of the 3rd Congressional District, he'll be with us in the 11 o'clock hour, so make sure you stay tuned for that. But joining us now, very pleased to bring on my next guest, Ag and Industries Commissioner, a familiar voice to a lot of us in this listening audience, Rick Pate joins us on the line. Commissioner, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jeff, great to be with you. I'm actually nearby in Gulf Shores for the Alabama Fruit and Vegetable Growers Association meetings down here at the lodge. So, yeah, good to be with you.
Hey, well, thanks for making time, and I'm glad you're in the neighborhood. Not too far away. Next time we can get you to swing by, but let's kick it off there. And you and I were talking a little bit over the break, the concern. Citrus, Satsuma's down here, something we're very familiar with in our neck of the woods, but I got some problems, of some headwinds, if you will.
Yeah, well, a month or so ago, we started to see this citrus canker start to show up, and it's a very infectious, it's easily spread just by the wind, and so we've been trying to isolate it, figure out what's an appropriate area to quarantine. We know it's in Mobile, Baldwin County, but of course that's also where most of our citrus, our Satsuma industry is, so we thought everything was sort of good. We had quarantine moving the plants themselves, and so you couldn't sell the plants outside of Mobile and Baldwin County. But Florida's already got it, and that's probably where we got it from. But yeah, there's some confusion now that our Satsumas are about to be ready to ship, and it's such an important industry that some of the states are saying, well, can we take the fruit? And of course they can. And this has nothing to do with the Satsuma fruit. You just can't sell, you know, the any part of the plant. We would normally ship that with the fruit anyway. So it's got our growers alarmed, and I certainly appreciate that as a businessman. And we'll work through it. And but right now everybody's excited about that.
Well, how do you combat that? Is it just something you got to wait out, or is this just maybe one of those years, you know, where you have something like this comes up and you just got to deal with it? It's just the nature of the business.
Well, but yeah, we can't sort of take. We got to deal with it right now, and so yeah, Satsuma crops being harvested now, and so probably at least 40% of that crop needs to go outside the state. So yeah, we can't have our farmers lose a whole crop. That can't happen. So it's just a matter of getting the other Department of Ag in Florida, Georgia, and Mississippi and Louisiana on the phone, and getting FDA and USDA and those people on the phone and say, you know, these are the consequences of what's happening, and that was never the intended consequence. So, yeah, it's not something we can wait a week or two on. It really needs to be dealt with within a week.
Joined by Agriculture Commissioner Rick Pate here on the program. Some other things have been coming up, maybe in your wheelhouse, and you can walk us through some of these supply crunches in public schools. I don't know if this is something that maybe this is more of a question for the superintendent of schools, but they're not able to get food in lunchrooms. We saw this in Dothan. We saw it in Alexander City, that they're not able to stock lunchrooms and do school lunches. And then you always talk about all during COVID that we had a very sustainable food supply. But is this just more – is this something that you have to look at as a problem that you needed to address?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we're so neck deep in the farm-to-school program and get local food into our school. So, yeah, actually, I was on a Zoom call about, 3 weeks ago with Secretary Vilsack, and, And I normally don't ask questions in those situations when I'm on there with 50 other ag commissioners. But, yeah, I did ask him the question, are you aware of the problems we're having? And I knew, because I'd gotten copies of the letters that from Dr. Mackey, the USDA and others in Alabama. I mean, what we were asking for is really flexibility. The USDA is the criteria to feed a child, and it should be. I'm not, in normal times, it's pretty strict about so many ounces of fruit and so much protein and so much of this and that. And that's where we were really getting hammered. Yeah, you miss one of those things, and all of a sudden the meal you're serving the kid doesn't count as a approved USDA meal. And so I don't think it's that any school system doesn't have food. It's that we need some flexibility in what we're enabled. You know, it might be one day we have to feed the kids a peanut butter jelly sandwich, and we need that to count. Anyway, we're working through that. They've shown some flexibility, I guess I would say. But, yeah, obviously there's some issues there.
But it's just mostly distributors or suppliers that it's that supply chain, and not necessarily that there's not enough out there. They're just not able to get it there. Is that a fair assessment?
That's very fair. Yeah, there's plenty of food out there. We just got to get it distributed better.
Commissioner, so I also want to talk about, as things go right now, especially with the supply crunch, but the inflationary pressures that we're seeing in the economy. And I know we really feel it at the grocery store. We see it at the gas pump. But what kind of impact is that having on agribusiness in this state?
Yeah, you know, everything, you know, the supply side hits farmers in their parts and getting things delivered. Of course, everybody knows that the energy cost and everything, not just the cost of gas, but everything that's produced has an energy cost associated with it. So when you have inflation in the price of gas, you know, fertilizer, if you think we're going to be able to get it, but it's going to be, much, much higher. The fortunate thing is that commodity prices are really pretty good. I mean, cotton, corn, soybeans, peanuts. I was up in Atmore earlier this week on Monday at the new shelling facility there, Coastal Growers, and that's just going to be a tremendous boon to that economy there. It's really our first co-op in the state. 145 farmers went together with some interest in finance, and then we're able to build this sort of world-class, probably the finest shelling facility in the nation right now. But it's farmer-owned, and it looks like we're going to have a good peanut crop. Prices are good. So, it sort of cuts both ways. We're having some higher costs, but prices are pretty good.
Something I've been meaning to ask you about, the whole Sweet Grown Alabama initiative, it made a big splash. Are you seeing some good impacts from that?
Yeah, you know, we spent the first year or two really selling it to our farmers and making it known in the agriculture community. And so we have almost 300 farmers now that are signed up for it, that it's a person could go to that website, which is sweetgrownalabama.org, put in their zip code, put in what they wanted, and it'll find them some local, if it's possible. You know, I wouldn't put in strawberries right now, but whatever is available at that time. So, we were spending money this year. We actually, down in y'all's area, Greer's has been a great partner with us. We've actually given them a little grant to help us provide some information on how local selling as opposed to what else is in the grocery store. So to sort of designate Sweet Grown Alabama, let's just say watermelon, as opposed to another watermelon that probably came out of Mexico or Central California and been on a truck for a couple of weeks. So, but we partnered really Piggly Wiggly in Birmingham, Renfro's in Montgomery, and Mitchell Brothers over in Albertville, Boaz area. So, yeah, it's still growing. We actually hired a second employee. We probably gotten doing all we could do with just one employee in that organization. And so, yeah, we're still expecting big things from that. We know that people want to buy local. We just got to help them find local.
And it sounds like you're really taking a local approach with, you know, Piggly Wiggly Greer's, et cetera, that you're really getting the local businesses engaged in this.
Well, yeah, of course, we don't, we're probably not capable of buying a Walmart or Publix right now. And so those local guys probably have a bigger interest anyway in being local. They're part of their local communities. And so, yeah, it was a much easier sell to them to promote local farmers and local vegetables and fruit.
Commissioner, wind it down on this. I've been traveling around the state lately. I guess we're kind of drying out from a very wet autumn, though, but seeing a lot of cotton still in the fields, a lot of that. Is this something that is, you know, it just seems unusual to be this close to Thanksgiving and seeing that. Is that just because of the weather this season?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of it got replanted. Yeah, I was in Escambia County, like I said, Monday, and driving around with a farmer there, Sammy Gibbs, and looking at cotton and peanuts. And, yeah, a lot of that cotton was replanted, you know, in those wetter areas. So, obviously, if they have to drop back and replant it, it's going to be later. But I think, yeah, your observations are correct. I think there's later cotton, this is not intuitive, but it's like the cotton's later down here than it is in Central Alabama almost. I'd say we're probably 80% or so in the rest of the state has been gin.
Anything else besides cotton? Is it just the nature of that crop?
Well, no, it probably was true of a lot of crops, you know. Of course, a corn probably loves water so much more than the others. But, yeah, there's a lot of peanuts being harvested right now. Like I said, at that shelling facility in Atmore, and it's just track trailer load after track trailer load rolling in there with peanuts. And of course, they're putting it in the warehouse and hauling it out about as fast, I guess, as it's coming in. But, yeah, you know, we're excited about what we're doing, and I actually had a group from the British Embassy in on Tuesday. It's my fourth meeting with them about, because they've obviously left the EU with Brexit, and they're looking for trading partners, and so we had good discussions about Alabama peanut and poultry and pecans and catfish, and so, but yeah, I'm optimistic.
Hey, Commissioner, we're up against a break here, but folks want to get in touch with your office, find out more about what's going on or any other initiatives you have underway. Tell them where to look.
Yeah, welcome to call me. Our number there at the Department of Ag is 334-240-7100. Website's agi.alabama.gov, and we'd love to hear from them or answer any questions. We've got a very good staff, and we'll be very responsive. But appreciate, Jeff, you having me on.
Hey, we do appreciate your time this morning. Let's talk again soon.
All right, man. Talk to you soon.
Agriculture and Industries Commissioner Rick Pate, ladies and gentlemen, here on the program.